I'm Nicole.
And I'm Crystal. Welcome back to Las Brujas and Friends podcast.
A podcast where we talk about international stories, tales, legends, and myths.
Sprinkled with true crime, extraterrestrial, and the like.
These accounts have been passed down through family and friends.
We're sharing these stories to keep them going.
And we want to continue to pass them down for culture, fascination, and for you guys to feel the same fear we felt when we heard them.
This is a disclosure. We're not professionals. We're not historians. We just love everything scary.
So today's episode, we're going to be talking about... I'm talking about a haunted village in Britain.
Haunted village in Britain. I'm talking about Santeria. I'm going off of, branching off of the Brujeria episode.
Yes. No aliens today.
No aliens. Mm-hmm. Am I going first or are you going first?
I will go first because mine is about a village. And in this village...
So that means you go first.
Yes, because they're small, they're short stories. This village is in 1989. It was in the Guinness World
That wasn't Records. That long ago.
1989?
Yeah. You mean 1889? Or
1989.
No, 1988. That wasn't that long ago.
Really?
We were born in the 80s. It wasn't that long ago.
That was over 30 years.
You just aged us.
Over 30 years. So Pleckley is the village in Kent.
For a second, I was like, what's Pleckley? For a second, I was like, what is she talking about, Pleckley? And you know why? Because right here are my tweezers.
Oh my God.
I was like, damn, we can pluck eyebrows right now?
No, our eyebrows are done. So Pleckley is a village in Kent, England, and it's a small little village. And so 1989, this record of having the most hauntings came about because there are at least 12 to 16 ghost sightings there that are continuous.
They hold the record.
From 1989, yeah. For our village. Because, of course, anywhere you go...
They have the category and they break it down and everything, yeah.
But this is like, you know, down the street, if you turn this corner, if you go to this side, if you go to this side of the little village, it's all over the place. So we're going to take you back. We're going to go back in time, back to the 16th to 18th centuries. This area...
Now, that's a long time ago.
Okay.
Okay. You can go on now.
Continue. So around this time period, this is when the Civil War was going on for Britain against the Cavaliers. Mm-hmm. Now, amongst this time, this was acres of farmland. So think of it as, you know, housing for soldiers, battlegrounds. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the locals that lived there that weren't involved in the Civil War. So a lot of people perished. A lot of people were either murdered or who knows what by accidents.
Yeah.
And of course, the people who were locals at had a lot of things to do for a living. You know, like I had people who would sell stuff. They'd have pubs and whatnot there too.
Yeah, so, it's like a little village.
Yeah.
They had everything they needed right there.
Mm-hmm. So around this time period, it was said that there was a farmer who had a dairy farm.
So he had vacas?
Yes.
And probably a couple of goats.
He had a family. His name was Edward Brett. After, obviously, the Civil War had passed, he bought this land. There was this, the farmland. Well, the farmland, let's go back. The farmland was established in 1406. So there were stables, the house, and all that stuff. So in the 1900s, Edward Brett purchased the land with his family, had his wife. Somehow there was an argument. I tried to research what it was, but we're going back to the 1900s. They ain't gonna have no dialogue of why they got mad.
There's no police report going way back then.
So they had an argument. He gave his wife 15 shillings. At that time, that was 18 US dollars.
15 shillings?
Yes, and a penny. So 15 shillings to her and a penny to each of his children.
Mm-hmm.
And walked over to the barn, dairy barn. Mm-hmm. And told and said out loud, I will do it, and shot himself. So he committed suicide. Yeah. Since then, at this farm, it was purchased through new owners. So this is going back to 2006. Current owners, Jeff Moody and Simon Peake, are the new owners. They've revamped this area. They've the establishment of where the house was. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming the barn is still there too, but it's now a hotel. It's a tourist venue. What? And yes, before, so around obviously 1989, hauntings and paranormal activity started to spike. And as the years progressed, we have now more ghost hunters, you know, adventurers,
with all whatnot. The equipment.
Yes. Mm-hmm. To this day, the owners have stopped allowing those paranormal reporters to come in. They want it to be more of a homestay, a home to get away. They want it just to have that vibe. But
is it an Airbnb?
It's supposed to be an Airbnb. It's on Triviago.
Triviago, yeah.
They have ratings and whatnot and stuff like that. But the last YouTube video that I found, that was 2007, the reporter was saying that, you know, they allowed him to record just on the outside of the hotel, not on the inside. So that tells me that they're trying to just do away from that. So then they just have regular people not just coming in to try and spike the whole place. Because if you're trying to have an established business aside from people coming during Halloween time or just doing the report of the same thing over and over, are you really making a lot of revenue from that?
Exactly. How many times are you booking that place?
Mm-hmm. So Edward still haunts the premises of the hotel. He is said to do his manual chores that he had there, walk around, clean.
So he's still living his life?
He does from time to time, just those four words, I will do it or I will.
That, but why?
Both owners have heard it. Owners have heard it. And obviously people who do stay say that they somehow see an apparition of Mr. Edward in their bed, and as they walk towards to see, like, what the heck, who's in my bed, he disappears.
That's so creepy.
Yeah. And then, as you know, we're all visiting and we want to be outdoors because it's a little farmland. I think, back then it was 600 acres. Now I don't know how much space they have.
Yeah.
But they're said to have the smell of burning hay, yet there's no fire in sight.
Burning hay? Why would there be burning hay from when he shot himself? Maybe?
I would assume that, but I mean, hay because it was a dairy farm and now it's just fields. It's like a little, it's a little small hotel. Like, think of it. You see farmland, you see flowers and, you know, it's nice. But hay, like burning hay, what would that signify?
It has to signify something. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking because he shot himself and maybe like the bullet or the ash, or because the guns back then... Well, I don't know. Maybe he had an old school gun that blew smoke.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not burning hay. Maybe they're smelling the remnants of the gunshot.
I'm trying to understand why those words were to have been said and still use it as a haunting. I will do it. Well, I mean,
and nobody knows
what the hell did the wife say to the man for him to be like, I will do it.
Better go clean that barn. I will do it.
Mm-hmm.
Gone.
It's like, back to the village, that's just the main, that's the main attraction for the little village. There are small little stories of the screaming man of Brickworks. So in Plucky, there was a man who was smothered by drying clay that fell on him. His screams were said to be heard from coming from Brickworks, and his ghost is said to appear at times.
Mm-hmm. He was smothered, so he drowned.
He died.
Suffocated. He died drying.
Mm-hmm. The watercress lady is a lady who sold watercress, but she also had a drinking problem and smoking problem. So,
well, there you go.
You smelled gin of her. She was
drinking
by the river. Lit her pipe. Her flame ignited on her clothes. She caught fire. Jumped into the river to get rid of the fire, but then drowned.
To put it out. But then she drowned because she was so drunk.
So, and she was a gypsy woman, so she's known as the watercress lady.
She was probably in shock.
Mm-hmm.
She was
there are two types of ladies.
She had that much alcohol in her system. Yeah. She just lit up.
Mm-hmm. So we have the red lady. This is Lady Daring. There's two Lady Darings. There's one that's called the red lady and one that's the white. The red lady is a member of the Daring family that was buried in seven coffins within an oak coffin. I guess this lady was buried with a red rose on her breast because she was searching for the grave of her stillborn child.
Oh,
it's supposed to be scary, not all.
That's sad. She's looking for her dead baby.
Let's go to the white lady now.
This one was buried in seven caskets,
seven coffins within an oak coffin. I don't know why. How the reason behind all that?
Why so many?
Yeah. So the second Deering lady was also a haunting at the church. This was a wife of a baron who owned much of the area. When she died, she was so when she died, the Lord Deering, who was so distressed, buried her body in three lead coffins with one oak to stop her body from decomposing. So like mummification?
With lead? I thought you were going to say he thought she was a vampire. Or a vampire. A werewolf.
And they're related. The red lady and the white lady are not related at all. But most likely the relation between them could be seen as mother, daughter, or sister.
Yeah, I can see that. Weird. Especially the way they were buried is so weird. Maybe it was ritualistic, right? Mm-hmm. 7-9 coffins and then the other one with her lead coffin.
There's a man, Robert Dubois. He's the highwayman. So he was a man who would hide behind a tree known as a fright corner and would jump out at his intended victim to fright.
What?
And scare them and rob them, obviously.
Oh, he was. I thought he was just doing this for fun.
No,
I was confused.
He was robbing these people. So throughout the time, they knew that this was the fright corner. Dubois would always hide. And obviously, karma caught up. And at this point in time, when it was his time to face his own fear, he was pierced and pinned to the tree that he hid behind.
Oh, snap.
So the tree's long gone, but he's known to be around that area.
Somebody cut the tree down?
Yeah.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. They're sick of the spirit being there, so they cut it down, but he's still there.
Mm-hmm. There's a horse and carriage in this village that is seen or heard at late nights. So around 2-3 o'clock in the morning, you hear just the carriage and the horse walking. You look back, there's nothing there, or you see a shadow, obviously far down. But then when you try to look back again, it's gone. But you still heard it. You heard it, yeah.
That's the noises are the worst.
Yeah. There's a screaming woods. So, this is,
wait, hold on. This is all in the same village?
Yes!
No wonder it holds the record.
Yes! I was doing research for a haunted farm, and since this had a farm, this had, other things listed, and I was like, sorry, I just stay focused on the farm, or just do the whole town right there.
The whole town?
Yeah.
Wait, where is this in Britain?
Pluckley.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Pluckley.
Yeah.
All right.
So the another thing added to the no list. Located next to Pluckley. This was called the Deering Woods, and most people still refer it to as the Deering Woods or the Screaming Woods.
Okay.
Anyway, you can hear the screams of numerous people who got lost in the woods and died.
Oh my gosh.
That's how fast I run through the woods. Just fast forward
to that. Made flash. Mm-hmm. The flash piggy.
Yes.
We saw pigs racing today.
Yes.
If you follow us on our Instagram, you saw the running pigs. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll pin it as a what do you call those things? A story of memory? A highlight.
Yes. That's all I got.
That's a lot for one village.
I didn't do all of the ghosts, but I did a little bit.
So there's more?
There's more. There's definitely more of the hauntings that are there, like the Phantom Monk of Greystones. There's a Colonel Park Woods, Phantom of Pinnock, Lady of Rose Court, Henry Turf. There's lots.
No,
more.
I will not be visiting.
So we focus on the farm about this Edward Kent who shot himself and said, "I will do it."
Yeah, that's weird.
So he's still doing it over there.
But if you're a ghost hunter, you can't go look for him.
Sorry.
Okay.
That wraps up mine.
Okay. We're moving on to my information. It's not really live stories. Well, reports from the news stations.
Oh. Yeah. You gotta say their news station in the way that they say it in Spanish.
Oh, it was an English news station. Oh,
okay.
So, safe. Don't have to speak Spanish. Okay. I'm gonna be talking about Santería. Santería is a blend of a variety of different faiths and cultures, even though some of these beliefs might be contradictory to one another. And it's contradictory to one another because Santería is said to be linked to Yoruba religion of southwestern Nigeria all the way to Cuba. The connection happened through the transatlantic slave trade. So when they brought the slaves from Nigeria and brought them to Cuba, that's how it started to blend, this Santería. Well, okay, so I think Santería originally came from Nigeria.
Had to have.
Right? And then it came to Cuba, and then it blended with Catholicism. Isn't that weird? So the Yoruba divine beings are called orishas, and we all know that Catholics believe in saints. So yeah, the Yoruba, the Santeria, well, I guess Santeria is the mixture of both of them, I guess. Yeah. So the Yoruba call them orishas, and the Catholics have the saints. And then Santeria could be thought of as the belief of orishas and Catholic saints. So it's a blend there. Or since when the slaves were brought over to Cuba, they were made to switch their religion to Catholicism, right? They were like, no, you can't believe in whatever. Yeah, they force you to believe in whatever their religion is. So they were forced to believe in Catholicism and to just please their owners or the people that were in charge of them. They said, sure, we're going to pray for these saints. But the saints were like a cover up for their divine beings, their orishas. So either way, it got blended together, and it's kind of contradictory because of what Yoruba is and then what Catholicism is. Many may believe that Santeria is magic.
Okay.
Right? Because of something that you do with Santeria, and it is called sacrifice. Sacrificing things for the gods or the orishas. And that's where I'm going to take my detour on Santeria. I'm going to talk about sacrificing. So what?
Mayans and Aztecs sacrifice, though, too, for their gods.
The Aztecs?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the Aztecs, like back in the day. Mm-hmm. Santeria is still practiced today. Okay. I have news stories from February. Yes. Santeria is alive and doing very well right now.
Okay.
One of the things it incorporates is animal sacrificing. It's typically chickens, or at least that's typically what you hear is they sacrifice chickens, but it could be any animal. It's open to anything. Mm-hmm. I think the first two main animals people think of with sacrificing is chickens and goats.
Yeah.
But Santeria, it goes beyond animals at one point. I'll tell you later.
Okay.
So something I found something really crazy about this religion and sacrificing and the law. The law, okay? The law. There's a case. Wait, shh. What is she barking at? Okay, after being
So you were gonna get
what
into
was I gonna
something.
Talk about? After being disrupted by the little dog that you guys can't see that's on the floor right now. Oh, okay. I was gonna talk about Santeria and the law. There's a case from 1993 in Hialeah, Florida. The Church of Lakumi Babalu successfully sued the city. So the church, and they practice Santeria. Our dogs are going off and it's freaking me out right now. The Church of Babalu, of Lakumi Babalu, successfully sued the city. You want to know what they won?
The church won against the city?
The church won against the city.
Okay, what did they win?
The right to practice animal sacrificing. Mm-hmm. It was ruled within religious context by the Supreme Court and is a protected activity to sacrifice animals. Uh-huh. Mm. And that still upholds today. There were a few more court cases through 2009 where people or cities were trying to protect animals, but so far, animal sacrifice is still protected by law.
You need to find out about this.
Right? As long as it deals within a religious context, because the law can't really touch religion once you're considered a religion. A lot of rights get taken away.
Okay.
Pretty bad.
Got all the iguanas out there.
Oh, the ones in Florida, too. Yeah. They're like taking over. Yeah. When people kill these animals, it's seen as an offering to a god or an orisha. And then I'm going to get into the first story that I found about sacrificing animals. And we're going to go to Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
This article was written, like I said, in February of this year from their Channel 2 news station. This lady was caught leaving animal remains on railroad tracks. And she didn't do this once. She did this at least 9 times. Maybe more. Most likely more. I think they only caught her doing it 9 times. Mm-hmm. Some of the things she has left on the tracks are chicken parts, raw hamburger, and other food items wrapped up in plastic bags. And usually, from what I read, everything's always in a plastic bag. It's I don't know. That was like a weird detail. No, not even like a store bag, like a Walmart bag, a Albertsons.
For the railroad track?
For any sacrifice. Well, not for any, but a lot of the sacrifices that I read about, everyone has these chickens or animals in the plastic store bags and they leave them somewhere. I thought that was just a weird detail. I'm like, not even like a nice bag. I'm thinking you in.
Back. There you go.
No, I was thinking, since it's so ritualistic, I thought they would put in like one of those sash bags of material, a leather bag. I don't know. You're killing something. I would think you would put it in a nicer bag. You know, put it in a Dollar Tree bag.
Nope. They don't care.
Okay.
Not for the gods.
I guess not. The gods will take it in any bag. The gods appreciate recycling. There we go. It looks so suspicious, these bags, that one time the bomb squad was called out to check the bag left on the railroad tracks. Yeah.
It's all burgers.
It's all old hamburger meat. A police officer who caught her in the act, and he caught her, and there's actual body cam footage, and you can see it if you look it up. And he asked her why she was doing what she was doing, and she said, "I have been diagnosed with a very serious medical condition, and it helps to keep me spiritually protected." So she's been diagnosed with a very, very serious medical condition, and it helps to keep her spiritually protected.
That reminds me a lot of, Atlanta, Georgia, there's voodoo, but I mean, just the voodoo idea, people who wanted to remain healthy or have longevity with life.
They sacrificed.
You did, yeah.
Something to one of the gods, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it makes sense, but still, it's a little crazy. 9 times at least they caught her. They called the bomb squad.
But why the railroad?
Okay, I'll tell you. According to a Santero, they interviewed a Santero for this report.
Has to be a portal.
No. He said the reason why sacrifices are left on railroad tracks is because the train is supposed to take all of the bad spirits away with it. So you're shipping your spirits off on the train, pretty much.
What about the people that are on the train?
That's what I was thinking. Or the new city that the train goes to. That's where all the bad spirits get taken.
Hmm.
Interesting, huh?
Mm-hmm. It's their fast pass.
The fast pass.
Next stop, next town.
Oh, for the spirits. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I want to talk about the railroads. You can't leave stuff on the railroads. It's extremely dangerous. Do you remember that Final Destination part?
Yep.
You remember that part with the railroad?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that can actually happen in real life, where if the train runs over something, it can propel.
Yes.
And it can injure someone. So don't leave stuff on railroad tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Especially not a chicken in a bag.
Ew. Oh, my God. It's spewing at people walking by or in a car. Oh, the windshield, man. While they're just waiting.
It's so gross.
Is that a chicken head?
It's so gross. The pictures that you see, it's a chicken, a whole chicken, feathers and all. And it's wrapped up in a bag and like the little feet are sticking out of the hole. It's so weird. This same report,
mm-hmm.
They're from Channel 2. They include another place people leave sacrifices, and not surprising, cemeteries. They find a lot of sacrificed animals in cemeteries. And then they go all the way back to Miami, from Atlanta, Georgia to Miami, because they interview a woman who owns a cemetery, and her name is Jessica Williams. She says that she finds all kinds of things on burial sites. She says she even saw a chicken hanging from a tree with a fire burning under it. Uh-huh.
She was cooking it.
I know, that's what I thought first. I was like, maybe somebody was hungry, but...
Yeah!
She says she put the fire out and cut the chicken out of the tree with her machete. She's savage. She's walking around.
Was the chicken dead?
It was dead, yeah. It was dead hanging.
They were cooking it.
Well, no, I don't think so, because it had feathers and everything. They don't pluck it. Jessica, she also tells the news station that a few years ago, she caught people mid-ritual over a grave. And the cemetery she owns in Miami, the graves are above ground. They're not underground, like 6 feet under. They're not down there. They sit above ground. They're like tombs.
Okay, like, so I'm being the cement.
Yeah, the cement vaults, yeah. So she caught these people mid-ritual. She said there was a chicken or a chick and a pigeon on top of a vault with a candle. And then I guess she was watching them long enough and she thought or she saw them trying to get into the vault, and she had to chase them away. And she thinks that they were trying to get the bones of whoever was in there for their rituals and stuff. That's what she said, Miss Williams.
Wow.
And then, of course, since there's a very large population of Cuban people in Miami, and Santeria is mostly correlated with Cuban people, mm-hmm. a lot of the stories come out from Miami, Hialeah, all those places over there in southern mm-hmm. Florida. Another one I found, this place. The what? This place? This takes Lakes. Place. At Tropical Park. I don't know where Tropical Park is. I've never heard I grew up in Fort Lauderdale, not Miami. So wherever Tropical Park is at, it's a popular place for runners or walkers or anybody who wants to walk on a trail. And it has a hill. And at the peak of this hill, there have been reports of multiple sacrificed animals that people find all the time at the top of this hill. One of which the story reported on was a cow's tongue. A cow's tongue, and it was sliced in half. And there's a reason why. According to Mercedes Sandoval, a Santeria scholar and professor emeritus, I don't know what that is, at Miami-Dade College, the reason why a tongue was offered and why it was sliced is because this person who was doing the sacrifice wanted to silence an enemy or gossip monger. So now we know that there's, well, from this, I go into reasons and why certain things are sacrificed to these gods. Because now we have different reasons why. Mm-hmm. That's why it's not always just chickens, even though when people think sacrificing animals a chicken, it's not always chickens.
But they're symbols of what's...
Right. Mm-hmm. They're symbols. So I'm going to talk about 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm going to talk about 4 different gods. What do you call believe in?
I don't know, I'm just thinking tacos of lengua.
Tacos of lengua?
That's why I keep laughing.
I want tacos.
She's shutting up and she's over here like, here you go, you're gonna need some tacos.
Oh, I remember I was reading that report and the lady, the runner that saw it, she was like, somebody could have tripped over that tongue.
Because it's big. It's like this big.
I was just thinking out of all the things to say. Out of all the things they could have quoted her in the paper, they said somebody could have tripped over it. Mm-hmm. I would have been mad if that was the quote they chose for me. I would have been mad if I said something like that. I'm like, dang, I couldn't come up with anything better. I'm going to talk about 4 gods that people in Santeria believe in. There's Yemaya. She's the goddess of the sea and motherhood, and apparently you'll see watermelons bobbing on Biscayne Bay because people will offer or sacrifice watermelons to Yemaya, the goddess.
I'm going to look at these pictures.
Yes. Then there's Ochum, goddess of the river and love, where reports of cucumbers floating down the Miami River have been seen as offerings.
4
cucumbers. She's the goddess of the river and love. So love. People are throwing cucumbers.
Okay.
I'm going to find a cold drink cucumbers in the water.
I'm going to find watermelons. I'm going to find cucumbers.
She's going to be out in the in Lake Las Vegas just throwing cucumbers. I'm going to arrest her. She's saying, it's a religious practice. You can't arrest me. It's the law. Mm-hmm. The next god is Chango. He is the god of fire, lightning, dancing, and virility and leadership. Wow, I said and twice. Offerings to him are red roosters. Easy, simple. He's a god of a lot of things, right? Red rooster. And then the last one I'm talking about is Owatala. She is the goddess of peace and creation. She's not the last one because there's a whole bunch of others that they...
She's Mother Earth.
Is she?
Peace and creation, yeah.
Oh, creation. Well, there's another one that kind of sounds like... Actually, no, there is another one and they say he's the creator of Earth. Oh. Or like the creator or something. They all sound like they're creators, though. Mm-hmm. But offerings to her are white chickens and yuca of all things. Mm-hmm. And then it says in the same report, it says that in the Miami courthouse, On the steps of the Miami courthouse, they have found things as sacrifices from pigs' legs, pigs' heads, bananas, and mangoes. Because apparently, these are left for hopes of justice or revenge. I'm guessing the pig head and leg is for revenge and not the fruit.
Why would the fruit signify justice?
A banana and a mango?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I can't even think yellow. Maybe yellow means something.
Pig head for sure is something that's...
revenge.
Is negative.
Yeah.
There's negative energy in that for sure. Legs, I'm not sure for the legs.
The legs? Mm-hmm. I think that's revenge. Maybe they're trying to chop someone's legs off, put them in jail. Right? That's like you're chopping their freedom to walk. I don't know. I'm reaching for things here at this point. So, yeah.
It's still practice. It's still practice to this day. It's passed in two states.
No, it's from the Supreme Court. So it's a law. It's a nationwide law, I think. I could be completely wrong. But from what I read, I'm pretty sure it's a law within every state.
Wow.
As long as it has to, as long as you do it by religion context. And I guess they can't do anything to you if they don't witness you doing it. So, of course, if somebody's calling and saying, I think my neighbor is sacrificing a pig in the backyard, and then the cops come and the pig's already dead, they can't do anything because they didn't catch him in the act of doing harm to the animal. Mm-hmm. Again, I could be wrong, but this is, I gathered this from the information I read about this law passing. It was crazy. I can't believe there's a whole law. Poor animals. They got to go through so much.
At least to the ones that are like, you know, they're overpopulated. All the rodents.
Is that why you have rodents and iguanas? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, when we went to Florida, there was all kinds of iguanas everywhere.
They're taking over. Mm-hmm. It's like Jurassic Park, but with iguanas. But yeah, I just wanted to talk about animal sacrifices because it was very interesting. All the stories that popped up. There are so many, but these are the top three, top two, whatever you talk about.
I think even if we dived into voodoo, we would have the same sacrifice with animals.
Like you said, the same, what they represent.
Yeah,
I think so. Maybe I'll do that. I'll research that and see which ones connect and see how much they correlate.
Because that comes from African descent more.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I mean, we all come from Africa. Yeah. We're Puerto Rican.
Yes.
We have African descent.
So but the next time you'll research.
I'm going to research and see which between voodoo, Santeria, Catholicism, because there are saints that represent certain things, and see all the different types of religions and see how they correlate or how they completely go opposite of each other.
Well, they do branch off, but they're still linked somehow.
There has to be.
Yeah, there's always a root to it.
Yeah, there has to be. And I'm pretty sure, like we were talking about, it's all going to come from Africa, mainly. Mm-hmm. The homeland. But that's it for Santeria and sacrificing.
This wraps up this episode. Subscribe to Las Brujas and Friends podcast.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Las Brujas Podcast and on Twitter at Brujas Podcast. We would love to hear from you.
Any feedback, suggestions, or personal testimonials that confirm these stories, we would love to read them.
A question for you. What's your opinion on Santeria? And would you visit a village with multiple sightings like Pluckley in Kent, Britain?
Join us next week. We post every Friday.
Bye.
Bye.